Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Back in here on Morning Drive, hour number three, live on a Tuesday. Nick Braden, D-Maze Marquise, Floyd Reese will join us coming up in just about 13 minutes as we'll talk all things Titans.
Was he sleeping in today?
Yeah, I think Floyd said, you know what, Titans are so bad, 6:30 is too early for Morning Drive. Get at me 2 hours later. Mm-hmm. I ain't getting up early for you bozos. I don't blame them.
Yeah, I don't blame me either.
Yeah, me either.
All right, so Tannehill, Mariota decision supposedly coming at some point today. The way I read into this situation, and not so much with the way anything played out Sunday or the fact that you went to Tannehill, but the fact that you have to say we're going to have a decision at some point Monday night or Tuesday, I don't know why you would go back to Mariota. If Mariota's your guy, then you stick with him. So the fact that we have this 24-hour wait-and-see window, I think just common sense would lead you to believe Ryan Tannehill's the guy for this week?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they chose to go with Marcus again.
You would or wouldn't?
I wouldn't be surprised if they chose to go with Marcus.
I don't think you should be surprised at anything.
I think, you know, yes, you could read a lot into what happened this past weekend, but I think because I've seen coaches do this where they remove a player and, you know, because the game is just not going away and they want to give a shot of energy and they hope it works. Well, he got sacked 4 times in 4 minutes. Not really 4 minutes. I'm exaggerating here. But I wouldn't be surprised if he decides, you know what, we're going to go with Marcus. And if it's not working, you know, in the first quarter, then we will pull Marcus and go with Tannehill. Is that the right decision? I don't know.
But
if I'm him, I'm going with Tannehill and then.
But first quarter?
Go back to Mark.
If that's the case, then Marcus shouldn't be out there to begin with. If he's on that short of a leash, just go with Tannehill.
But you have to, man. You
Why?
If it's not work, if it's.
He's had 4 years and 5 weeks.
I know, but what you do is, you know, you hope that the benching, sparks him.
Well, shouldn't the signing of Tannehill months ago been the spark that says, hey, if you get hurt or you don't perform, we have a guy who was a starter for 7 years.
Guys, absolutely right.
We're missing some of the equation here. I don't disagree that the Tannehill could be a spark. I don't disagree with that, either in a game or as a starter. I would put the percentages at probably, I don't know, 75-25. Tannehill starts, probably.
I think that's fair.
I personally would start Marcus Mariota because I think he gives you a better chance to win. That's it. To me, it's not more complicated than who do I think gives my team the best chance to win today, this week, this game, in this moment. Who gives you a better chance to win? And I know everyone wants to see something different because they haven't seen it yet. For those of us who have watched 10 years of Ryan Tannehill, I don't think he's better.
Well,
so
clarify best chance to win this week. Is it because you don't think Tannehill can get up to speed in 1 week? Or
no, he's not better.
Well,
a better football player.
Well, here's the counter to that, though. What did you see from Marcus last week that says he's better than Tannehill?
Nothing last week. But again, sometimes your best pitcher doesn't have their best stuff in that game. And Marcus had a terrible game. There's no way around that. But Tannehill wasn't any better. Tannehill does one thing differently than Marcus does, and that is fire the football on schedule in the pocket. He does that better. The problem is, where does the football go when he does that? And throughout his career, he has been more injured, turned the ball over more, and won less. I don't think he is as good a quarterback. That's it. It's just my opinion. I think most everybody that's been at practice all year believes that. The Titans certainly believe that through the first 6 weeks of the season. That may be different now. Marcus may just be permanently broken. That may be the truth of the matter. I think they start Ryan Tannehill if I have to guess. Again, I think it's about 75-25% chance that they announce Tannehill today versus Marcus. I will guarantee you one thing. I think there's a 100% chance that they both start a game from here on out. Like they're both going to play. Like I would expect both guys to take snaps the rest of the season. I don't know what the percentages are or the breakdowns, but I would expect both of them to play. My issue is if I'm looking at not the long-term plan, that's a different conversation, but today, who gives me the best chance to win the football game today? I still think it's Marcus Mariota. That's my opinion. You can disagree with that.
Marcus is when they brought Tannehill in, they brought him in with the thought of if this thing doesn't work, and I recall myself saying this after about six to seven games, if the record is not where they want the record to be, they're going to make a change. And lo and behold, they make a change during the game. Now, I don't know if that change will continue from here on out if they decide to go with Tannehill, but they brought Tannehill in for a reason. And it wasn't just to be the backup all year. Their thought was this. Two things. If Marcus get healthy, then yes, he comes in. But if Marcus is not playing well after 5 years, you got to remember, this is not their guy. They didn't draft him. So eventually they're going to say, you know what? If you haven't shown us that you are and that's the problem. He hasn't shown anyone he's definitively the guy. Where there's no qualms about this. He's our guy. The Titans can say what they want to say, and I told y'all this before. They are going to say all the right things in regards to their quarterback.
Either one.
But deep down in their heart, they brought Ryan Tannehill because they don't believe, one, Marcus can stay healthy, and two, that he is the guy for a whole season.
This is not a Tannehill endorsement coming from me. This is just where I am with this team with Marcus Mariota. If you start Marcus Mariota this Sunday, it is very demoralizing to your fan base. I think if you send him out this week to start, that it will be. I'm just being completely honest, and we are paid to watch the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. And this is not me trying to get shock on the radio. I have zero interest in watching Marcus start this game Sunday. I would certainly want to watch Tannehill, mm-hmm. not because I believe in him. Because I want to see the dumpster fire that is Tannehill that we have no quarterbacks here.
It's a new thing. Yeah.
And I think, and you can speak to this in the locker room. I know you didn't play on that side of the ball, but defensively, if they feel helpless with Marcus at quarterback and they're saying, hey, we're a top five defense. We give up 15 points a game or whatever the number is per week, and you can't score any points. I think that's a defeated feeling for your defense if Marcus leads this team back on the field.
Well, I mean, yes.
What happens if your backup's even worse?
Then you're screwed.
Isn't that just as defeating?
Then you just shut it down.
Here's the thing. You hear it, and you just got to pay attention to a team and listen to what they say. And you heard Saffo. He's not playing well anyway, but you heard Saffo say what he had to say about Ryan Tannehill. You heard Delanie Walker say what he has to say about Ryan Tannehill, about the quarterback situation.
He's elite.
Don't think that those guys in that locker room are not saying to themselves, man, I don't think Marcus is the guy. I'm glad we are making a change. At least we can see what we have.
And those players, like those leaders that you talk about, Delanie or Jarrell Casey or Byard or anybody else, Woodyard, they can all have the utmost respect for Marcus.
Yeah, that's sure.
But they can just simply believe he's not the best guy for the job right now.
And again, we all can, like, I think to your point, Nick, about the fans, right? Like, the fans want to see Tannehill, I think, for by and large. It doesn't mean they're going to like what they see. I mean, listen, I hope I'm wrong. Corey Curtis said it too. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Ryan Tannehill comes in and lights a spark and lights a fire and this team is good and they make the playoffs. I'd like to see that. That'd be good for the city and good for our show and more interesting stuff. I'd like to watch a more interesting football team. I just don't have any faith in that happening. And it's not just because of Ryan Tannehill. It's because does it matter who is standing behind the offensive line? They're not going to be successful.
Do you think, though, real quick, defensively, the leaders on that side are saying, you know what? I'll live with Ryan Tannehill and his ability to let it rip, even if it leads to turnovers and mistakes, because I can't watch, if I'm on the defensive sideline, and I just can't watch three and out after three and out. Like, Marcus is conservative, and he doesn't make a ton of mistakes, but, like, you, big risk, big reward with Tannehill.
And that's what guys are saying. Just throw the ball, man. At least give those guys an opportunity to catch it. At least, you know, go through your progressions and deliver the football. Don't sit back there and hold on to it. And I get it. The offensive line is its problem. But let's look at this very carefully. All of those sacks. Marcus wasn't rushed the whole game. Marcus had opportunities where he had a clean pocket, where he sat back there and just watched. He wasn't getting pressured the whole game. I went back and looked at that game, and I'm going to go back and watch it again. He didn't get pressured the whole game. They gave up sacks in bunches toward the end of the game. But for the most part, Marcus was not getting rushed, and that's what these guys are seeing. Like, okay, yeah, we can blame the offensive line, rightfully so. But for three quarters, it wasn't the offensive line's fault. They gave Marcus opportunity.
Disagree.
Man, watch that. I'm telling you, watch that game. Just watch that game. It wasn't the offensive line is bad.
Throws. He missed throws.
The offensive line is bad.
Derrick Henry had 1.5 yards of carry.
I'm saying pass protection. They were not that bad. It wasn't until toward the end of the game where they started giving up sacks in bunches. But before that, they gave Marcus an opportunity to throw the football. And when you one skip guys consistently or you throw it over their head, those guys on the defensive side are looking like, damn. Like, come on. We bitch about the offensive line. They're giving you an opportunity.
I mean, Tannehill had a couple.
Still or not.
Tannehill had a few times where he dropped back and had all day to throw, too. Listen, you're right.
So you get it. But
you're right.
Tannehill,
Marcus made mistakes. He was bad. There's no question.
Tannehill give this team. Do I think Tannehill is the long-term option? I don't know. Probably
he's not.
I don't know.
He's not.
But he get right now, he gives them a better opportunity to win a football game because, again, he doesn't have all that baggage from what has happened to him in the previous years.
That
he's
might be
here
the biggest
with a clean slate and say, you know what? It's sort of like Tua. When Tua came in and led that comeback, he said, you know what? I have nothing to lose. Well, I'm just going to chuck the ball around. If we win, great. If we lose, then, it is what it is. That's Tannehill. He's going to come in. He's going to say,
but now
the hell with it.
But now he's the starter, though, because to your point, he comes in off the bench, and Tua can do whatever he wants, down by 2 touchdowns in the championship game, and there's no downside, right? Well, now if you're the starter, there's downside. You could lose, and you got to play well and all that stuff. I'm with you. I think the biggest argument for Tannehill is mental clarity. Like, Marcus is just broken right now, and Tannehill at least maybe has a clear conscience or a clear mind or something. The only advantage to me is mental for Tannehill, because physically I still think Marcus is the better player.
Teron Davenport just sent me a text. He said, remember what Kenny Vaccaro said to me, we have to be the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens. He said their job is to keep the opposing team from scoring less points, and if it's going to be a 0-0 tie, it'll be a 0-0 tie. To me, basically says Kenny Vaccaro realizes the margin for error is slim because the offense can't score. Like, the defense probably feels like they have to shut people out to win games.
And to be fair to both Tannehill and Mariota, it's not necessarily all about them. It is largely the offensive line.
That's true. The offensive line is horrific.
It doesn't matter which.
Have we seen an offensive line through 6 games more wretched than this?
Probably
0-2
not.
Texans with David Carr?
They've given up 29 sacks.
Yeah. Nobody can succeed in that.
29 sacks.
Hey, but listen.
That's insane. That's five a game.
They are bad. But you know who's not bad? Cool Springs MD.
They're not bad.
Roger Saffold needs to go check out your boys.
Maybe
okay?
Roger Saffold needs to go along with the whole offensive
line. Yeah, a little CSPD.
They need a team bonding together.
Some energy. Get some energy. And listen, I've been telling y'all about this for some months now. And it's been close to a year about my good friends over at Cool Springs MD. They've helped more men who've started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Listen, Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, his wife Daphne, along with that experienced staff, they will give men treatment required to improve their quality of life. And, man, we know we need a better quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, which I am currently living, and the surrounding areas with improving their immune systems. Fellas, when we get sick, we act like big babies, and we know it. So let's avoid all that. Energy levels, we need to get our levels up. That's why when I walk in this building, my levels are on, as the kids say, on fleek. That's what they say. That's the term, on fleek. I think that's what it is. So, which means it's on high. It's at a level that's never been before. Cognitive functions and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And there's no better time now to achieve a healthier lifestyle. Man, I'm telling you, my lifestyle is damn healthy, and yours can be too. So what are you waiting on? Give Cool Springs MD a call today and make an appointment. It's better to do it today than wait until tomorrow, okay? 615 615-486-3458, 615-486-3458, or visit their website. Write this down.
All right, welcome back in the Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Maze Marquise. Stick to Sports coming up at 8:45 this morning as we welcome in our general manager, Floyd Reese. Floyd, happy Tuesday. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. You guys?
We're doing well. So, two-part question. One, how do you think the Titans will handle this quarterback situation for this upcoming week against the Chargers? We know the decision should be announced today. And then secondly, how would you personally handle it this week?
Well, I kind of think it's going to be the same both ways. My gut tells me they're going to give Marcus another shot. And that, you know, after sitting out, after the realization that he can be taken out for the first time in his career, probably, you know, it may be enough of a shakeup to make a difference. Maybe it won't, but I think that's what they need to find out. The mission is still the same for them, unless in their minds they've said he can't do it. And if they're saying that, you know, he's not the guy, then, you know, they'll probably put Tannehill in and run with him and see what happens. But if they still think that Marcus has a prayer, then I think they'll go back to him and, you know, give him an opportunity to straighten it out.
What are the odds, Floyd, that both quarterbacks are going to play significant minutes over the next 10 games?
I hope zero. I mean, I don't want, you know, them to get into quarterback A goes in, plays for a quarter, throws an interception. Quarterback B comes in and, you know, does the same thing. I mean, I don't – you can't get into, in my mind, you know, the thing you have to stay away from, two things you have to stay away from. If indeed you think Marcus still has a prayer, keeping him alive and a key element of the team – And I think, you know, the second thing is you don't want to get in the quarterback, you know, rotation back and forth. You know, you don't want, I think that's probably the worst thing that could happen, you know, where one quarterback goes in, plays a little bit, next one goes in, he fails, go back to the first one. I mean, you know, that will cost you literally, you know, every game.
But Floyd, would you agree that, you know, whatever they do, that they need to do it and stick with it because the players are watching. And if the players feel as if you're not doing anything, then I think you're on the brink of losing your locker room. And the players just want to see, you know, that you are proactive in trying to change some things as a head coach and not try to keep this thing status quo.
Yeah, I think, you know, this game that Marcus was taken out of, in my mind, was not the normal, you know, the quarterback is fed up or, he, you know, the quarterback misses an audible and they say, okay, that's enough for today, and they pull him out. I think Marcus literally played his way out of that game. You know, I don't think Vrabel had a choice. I think probably any head coach in football that saw his starting quarterback play that poorly would say, hey, this, you know, for whatever reason, today's not right, he's not right, whatever the case may be, we got to make a change. And so I think when they go back to it, they can say, hey, you know, you're going to be the guy, and we're going to give you another chance and see what happens here. And, you know, the mission was to see if Marcus had a chance to be the guy. And if he did have a chance, then, you know, they were going to give him the season to see if, in fact, that happened. If at any point they get to where they say, no, you know, this just isn't going to work, he is not the guy, then I think, fine, go ahead and make the change and, you know, put Tannehill in there and see what he can do. It's not like we don't know what Tannehill can do. You know, we've got 7 or 8 years worth of video that shows Tannehill playing and what he can do. So I think, you know, they probably have a pretty good feel for where he is and what he's going to do.
Floyd, you're a general manager of an NFL football team, and a social media director comes to you and says, hey, I'm going to post a picture and a story online about our decision to choose a starting quarterback with a picture of both quarterbacks on Twitter. What do you think, general manager, Mr. Reese?
Well, I don't. You know, again, I understand why that happens. You know, social media is such a popular item, and everybody's on it, and everybody wants to know what's going on. That being said, I don't think anything that has to do with football should be out there. You know, the guy that is probably sending it out is, you know, he may not word it correctly. He may not. I mean, there are just too many things that lead to speculation that leads to, you know, the next press conference. You spend the whole time talking about a social media tweet. You know, somebody tweeted out, and then like yesterday, you know, one of the players gets mad or doesn't like it, and he responds. And now what are you doing? Now you're responding to the player, you know, responding. And I mean, it's just a vicious cycle. And I was always of the belief that, hey, you know what? Nothing that happens in this locker room needs to go on anybody's social media, whatever it may be, whatever item they use, to the outside world. Everything in here stays in here.
Floyd Reese joining us here on Morning Drive. So let's flip the page and let's look ahead to the Chargers a little bit. They're coming off of a really poor showing against the Pittsburgh Steelers, losing to Pittsburgh's third string quarterback. How do the Tennessee Titans go about beating a Chargers team that looks like they're taking on a little bit of water right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think both these teams are in the same place. If you would have talked to a lot of, you know, football people before the season, they looked at San Diego and said, hey, San Diego is going to be a contender. You know, they're going to be right in the middle of this thing, whether or not they win the division or make the playoffs. That being said, I mean, they've gone through a series of injuries. That's affected them. But the bottom line is they're just not playing very good. And so, you know, these two teams are going to go into this thing with the same approach, same outlook. They got to find a way to win one. You know, they both need to try to get back on track, and whichever team wins, it certainly has a ways to go, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
Floyd, good stuff as always. We'll be listening today at 2 o'clock. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Floyd Reese joining us here on Morning Drive. We'll come back
for the Gipper.
Yeah. Come back, react to what Floyd had to say in regards to Marcus, that he believes Marcus will still be the guy, and whether or not a little shot of energy can do some change. Back after this here on ESPN, 102.5 a game. Stick to sports coming up at 8:45. Chris Mason at 9:30.
We just did too much radio during the segment.
We did.
That's what we did.
Top Four Tuesday as well, college football, all that coming up in the final hour and a half of the show.
Goodness.
So Floyd says he would still lean towards Marcus Mariota. But here's the thing. And when Floyd followed it up by saying, I already know what Ryan Tannehill is, I think we all know what Ryan Tannehill is.
I don't think Titans fans do.
And we saw what he was with the Dolphins. Now, I tend to believe he'll be the same thing with the Tennessee Titans, but I need visual confirmation. I just need to say, okay, yeah. I saw it, and next.
I think that's a fair approach. I don't have anything. There's nothing I can say. I can't disagree with that approach. My problem is I still look at the NFL, and this is not like college, right, where you lose twice and you're done, or you lose three times and your season's over because you're not competing for championships anymore. That's not the way the NFL works. The NFL, you can go 2-4 and make the playoffs. You can go 1-5 and make a run and make the playoffs. You can be sitting at 6-6 in the middle of the year and win four games, and all of a sudden you've had a good season. There's just, NFL seasons are just so strange that there's still, like, look at the AFC. The Pittsburgh Steelers are awful. The Browns are not what they were supposed to be. The Chargers are taking on water. I mean, look at the AFC. It's still there. If you put three wins together, you're above 500 and you're competing for a wild card. So to me, there's still a chance with a great defense to compete for a playoff spot. I realize that seems far-fetched, and certainly offensively that doesn't sound reasonable.
I'm with you on the 2-4, but it's how they have gotten to 2-4.
I know.
I mean, you said, you know, put together three wins. I'm hoping they can put together three touchdown drives. I mean, they scored 0, 7, 7, 17.
Yeah.
Four of those six games, the offense has been atrocious.
You're absolutely right.
It's how you came to 2-4.
I know. You're absolutely right. You can't argue with that. Those are facts. It doesn't mean that strange things don't happen in NFL seasons. And so I'm with Floyd. Again, I think the best argument for Tannehill is if Marcus Mariota is permanently broken, mentally, psychologically, spiritually, I don't know. Like, if he is just completely, you know, broken and it's obvious, then maybe Tannehill gives you a better chance to win. But if they are both fully healthy and mentally still strong, right? Like Marcus isn't emotionally broken either. If they are both mentally prepared to play and both physically healthy, I think one is the better player than the other. This is like arguing Georgia versus Florida right now in the college football playoff rankings. Florida has a loss. Georgia has a loss. I think Georgia's the better football team. It's not like we can get into the nuts and bolts of why I think that, but really it kind of comes down to when you're on the committee in college football, who do you think is the better team? And right now I'd pick Georgia to beat Penn State. I'd pick Georgia to beat Florida. I'd pick, you know, it's just sort of a general thing. It's not – you use a bunch of, you know, factoids and stats to back it up, but basically you just say, hey, I think this guy's better. And I think Marcus is the better player than Ryan Tannehill. I think that's been the case throughout their entire careers. And I still think Marcus gives you the better chance to win a football game today, tomorrow, the next week, whatever, than Ryan Tannehill does. I hope I'm wrong. If Tannehill gets the start, I hope Ryan Tannehill plays well. But if you're just, the NFL's weird. You're never really out of it, right? Until you're officially out of it. Look at your Eagles last year, right? Weren't the Eagles on life support with like five games to go in the regular season? And then all of a sudden they win some games and they make a wild card, and all of a sudden they're in the playoffs. Like, it's just the Colts were 1-5 and then made the playoffs. Like, there's just weird things happen in the NFL. So I still think you can't give up on the season. And, you know, if we'll all find out together, A, what Ryan Tannehill is, B, the decision that they make, all this stuff, we're all going to learn together. I just hope that it means meaningful football games down the stretch, because this defense is too good to be wasted by the offensive line problems right now. It's too good of a defense, and I just feel bad for the defense, because this team is a playoff caliber defense, if not a championship caliber defense. And then Jeffrey Simmons is going to come back in the next couple. Haven't even talked about that. He's on the practice field yesterday, right?
Can he play left guard?
Yeah, so it don't matter what he does, because the defense is defense. They're playing well. Marcus and Ryan, they're basically the same players. If you look at, you know, the numbers, the stats, everything else, they are basically the same player. Now, Ryan has played, what, 2-3 more years than Marcus?
Well, he missed an entire season.
So it's probably less than that. They are probably around the same time. Same when you talk about starting. But they're the same player. What you're going to get with Ryan, you're going to get with Marcus. I think the thing that separates the two is that Ryan is going to throw the ball.
Is that a good skill set for a quarterback to have?
In this situation, it is.
throwing the football.
He's just going to let it go. He's not going to hesitate. When I watch him, for some reason, I'm more at ease, because it looks as if when he's in a pocket, he's in control. He understands. He's going through his progressions. He understands where to throw the ball. And he's not the – I'm not sitting here and debating whether he's great or not. But
yeah, neither of them are great.
When he's in a pocket, he looks different than Marcus. He looks as if he's going through his progressions. He looks as if he's not worried too much about what the offensive line is going to do.
Are you basing this off of three drives?
I'm basing this off of what I've seen from him in the preseason, what I've seen from him in the three drives, what I've seen from him as a quarterback, period. He is just more decisive than Marcus. If the numbers, they're both identical. I mean, if this is a 9-win team with Marcus, they are a 9-win team with Ryan Tannehill. That's just the way it is. And Marcus hasn't proven to me that he's more than that, and Ryan hasn't proven to me that he's more than that. These two guys are one and the same. You only thing they're different is the names on the guy's back and the nationality. That's about it. Everything else, they're the same quarterback.
I think they're both American.
I know what you mean.
You guys want to hear a real soft millennials response to one of my tweets?
Oh god!
Because I just crushed somebody's soul on Twitter.
This is what Nick does when Derek and I are talking. By the way, Nick just since
tweets. Well, no, during the last commercial, I tweeted it would be, and this is what I said on the air. I said it would be demoralizing to Titans fans if Vrabel sends Mariota back out there this week as a starter. Me, personally, I have no interest in watching Marcus anymore. Give me Tannehill to confirm what I already know, that he's not the guy either. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple, straightforward.
Yeah.
Legit tweet, right? Zach says, why are you drawing a line in the sand? You have two quarterbacks. One is the guy for now. Why not try a positive approach instead of the constant Debbie Downer approach? And my response to that is, well, if you want fanboy rah-rah analysis, you can find it on social media, but you're not going to get it from me. Like, this is the truth. And you have two quarterbacks? No, you have zero.
Yeah,
you think Vandy has two quarterbacks? They have zero. Well, do the Vols have two quarterbacks? No, they have zero.
No, you're absolutely
two quarterbacks,
right.
Zero.
Until one guy just proves this season that it's my team and I'm going to win, then you have no quarterback.
We have six quarterbacks in the state. Translation, we have zero. We have nothing.
And here's the problem.
What you talk about JT Trout that way?
No one has definitively grabbed the football and said, this is my team. I am the guy. Anytime you have this, it's just like this ambiguity of who's going to be the guy. Marcus should have solidified this a long time ago. And that's the problem that I have, is that he hasn't. He's not great. He's not bad. But he hasn't said, Titans, this is my team.
Through the Kansas City playoff game of his career, he did. Since Vrabel got here, and a fair question by Stillman at the press conference yesterday.
He's regressed.
Under Vrabel, he's regressed.
Yeah, I think that's totally true.
He had...
You disagree? I mean, the first 2 years, statistically, he was good. Third year, he got a playoff win.
He had one good season.
He was trending in the right direction.
He had,
until 2018.
No.
Well, those are the facts, Derek.
The facts are he had one.
I mean, I'm not a Mariota guy, but I mean.
The facts are he had one good season. 26-9. Touchdown interception ratio. Before that, he was 19-10. After that, 13-15, 11-8, 7-2 right now. Where in the hell is this, oh, he's had two or three really good seasons? I'm calling it like it is. He has it.
Give me real quick. Hold on. Give me the touchdown to interceptions the first 2 years.
The first 2 years, he had 19-10 his first year. I kind of dismissed that because it's rookie year.
Okay, but still, blame Wisenhunt.
As a rookie, 19-10, not bad.
9, his best season. After that, he went downhill.
Right, statistically, third year went down, but third year resulted in a road playoff win.
But again, it was...
Trust me,
I'm going to give you all... You know what? I'm tired of arguing with people about this Kansas City damn game. Have it. But it didn't prove to me that he was the guy because he won a day. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, but did anybody believe he was the guy? Hell no.
Well, he won a Super Bowl, though.
Marcus is not the guy. What? I want him to be the guy, but he hasn't been the guy. And that's the problem. He hasn't said, this is my team. I'm the quarterback. His play hasn't shown that.
Why do you got to be such a Debbie Downer? Can't you have a positive approach for once?
I want Marcus to be the guy. I want him.
No, you're not wrong about
this. I want him to be the guy so we can stop making
on a
quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you said
Marcus
it since the beginning.
Guy.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
You said it from the beginning. Like, make it so clear that there's no discussion, right? Like, that's what you've said since the beginning. But I think it also is important. This is the same conversation we had with Derrick Henry.
Uh-huh.
Derrick Henry was not the Derrick Henry we know today prior to getting benched against New England and looking himself in the mirror and calling himself garbage. Just because he got better and changed as a player doesn't mean that he was productive before that. Marcus was productive and getting the job done for his first 3 years in the NFL. He was a playmaker who did really good things for this franchise. He took them from complete irrelevancy to the AFC divisional round of the playoffs. That is a fact. He was a very statistically productive quarterback in his first two seasons. He also dealt with multiple coordinators. And since the loss to the New England Patriots in the playoffs, to Stillman's question yesterday, he has regressed. Now, statistically this year, he was getting better. And then the game against Denver happened. And we all go, oh my God, it's awful. And like Floyd said, he's played his way out of the starting lineup. I don't think that Mike Vrabel and Arthur Smith and John Robinson look at the Denver game to make a decision as to what's the quarterback moving forward. They look at the entire thing. They look at the entire season, the preseason. They look at every piece of film they've got on Marcus and every piece of film they've got on Tannehill and how everybody works together, and they will make a decision to who they think gives them the best chance to win moving forward. And 75% of that, I believe, is probably Tannehill. I still think I would go with Marcus, but that's why I'm not making millions of dollars to be the coach. But I also have things to say when I step to a podium and have a have a microphone in front of my face. I don't just give snarky answers. I could be dead wrong about stuff all the time. In fact, we all are, and you two will point it out plenty of times. And it's I'm okay with that. But again, you're not going to base who starts this week and gives you the best chance to win based on what happened in one game. It's a broader evaluation than that.
Coming up next, we will tell you why the Titans will run the table and go 10-0 down the stretch. Just, you know, because we don't want to be Debbie Downers. You know,
we don't. Titans are going to win every game.
A little positive spin on everything.
Tighten up, man.
Let's be positive.
Titans are going to be so good, they're going to score 45 points a game.
Ignite the fire.
They're going to be like Tebow in 2008 when they lost to Ole Miss and averaged 50 points a week.
You will never see a team play harder than our team will play from here on out the rest of the year.
Positive Fanboy Radio coming up next. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, NFL fans, Ole Miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show. Start your morning off with the kickoff from 10 to 12:30, followed by NFL pregame show live featuring Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders from the George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue this Sunday, 12:30 to 2:30, prior to the Tennessee Titans taking on the LA Chargers. Pregame show brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. That is this upcoming Sunday. Boys, let's stick to sports.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
Basically.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive.
All right, D-Mace, stick to sports. Brought to you by the good people.
At Decorated Den Interior, stick with the pros at Decorated Den. When you're ready to decorate your home, office, or outdoor spaces, request a complimentary appointment, which is free, online at decoratingden.com.
Number one.
All right, fellas, let me ask you. I've never owned a pet before. Ever?
Oh, wow.
Your mom never had a pet with you?
Well, I lived in an apartment, man. So you
goldfish?
Know. I did have a goldfish named Kobe, but it died like 2 days.
Kobe. See, look at this. LA apologist.
You know, I would have named it Tua if it was a couple years earlier. But so.
Should have named him Smush.
That counts as a pet.
I mean, it died in 2 days, though. So.
Yeah. Sounds like you're not a very good pet owner.
Yeah, that's probably it. That's probably why I ain't never had one. But are you guys dog or cat people?
Dog. I don't trust cats.
Yeah, no. Cats. Me and cats. And,
I don't trust cats.
Mike Leach, on the other hand, he is not.
Said.
He is a cat person. And here's his explanation why he is a cat person.
There's a definite difference. I've never been able to understand animosity towards a cat any more than like a squirrel or a hamster or something, you know. You know, you don't see somebody, I hate hamsters or I hate squirrels or I hate robins, you know. I mean, but there is definitely some people that hate cats, which strikes me as quite strange, because in the end, it's only a cat. And if someone would allow a cat to disturb them that much and generate so much emotional anxiety, I have a hard time understanding that. I do think there's a point to where dog owners are evolving towards cat owners, and I think that's unfortunate. cat owners tend to be, from my experience, more independent, a little more solo, and I guess appreciate the independence in a cat. Cat owners can become obsessive, where at a higher rate than dog owners, where instead of one cat's fun, two cats are twice as fun. So let's get 20 of them.
Is there any evidence that cat owners are more obsessed?
Oh my goodness, you gotta love Mike Leach.
What did we just listen to? Where? I mean, is that a press conference?
Yes, this is. This actually is a press conference. Mind you, they're 0-3.
Oh my goodness,
in the last three games. By the way,
was he doing a thing for Animal Planet or something?
Well, here, first of all, I'm not sure where the robin came in. He just kind of threw the bird in there randomly. Like, I get if you're comparing hamster, cat, squirrel, but like I think people don't like squirrels either. I think people are kind of like anti-squirrel in general.
Yeah.
In fact, I got a buddy who's got a really good squirrel killing trick for his yard. If you guys want me to share that with you one day, I don't think we hate cats. I don't trust a cat. I think they're all Russian spies. but I think I just don't trust them. I don't hate them. I just don't trust them.
I dislike cats.
Does it make us simple? and easy that we appreciate the like sort of the blind loyalty of a dog? Is that is like I don't want to have to work for my pet's affection. Like, does that make me lazy or does that make me smart?
I mean, people have always said like dogs are better than humans. Like, some people would rather be around a dog than another human being because they're just great and loyal. I've never heard anybody say that about a cat.
No.
Well, people want to be around dogs because dogs can't talk. They
can't
sit there. Cats can't either, so that's why they'd rather be around dogs than human. But I would rather be around a human than
a
dog.
There's a lot of medical
<That too. laughs>
There's a lot of medical evidence that will of course tell you that having pets in general will lead to longer, healthier lives.
Very therapeutic.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just think that if you're looking for easier therapy, the dog is far easier support system than the cat is, where you have to like work really hard to prove to the cat that he can trust you, and then you got to like really work hard to show him that the house is safe, and like you got to give him his space when the cat wants his space. You got to give the cat his space.
I've never seen a hospital, you know, say, "Well, let's prance around some cats for therapy."
Also, how about
I've seen them do dogs. Now, I'm not saying they don't. But from what I've seen, my experiences, they've been all dogs.
I like his, well, you know, cat owners are more solo, read alone. When you're 70 and by yourself is when you end up with 60 cats in your house. But you know what you do see with dogs? Dogs can take care of seizures, prevent seizures. Dogs can help blind people get around. Mm-hmm. There are service dogs that work on a lot of different fronts
service
for
cats?
People. I don't know of any service cats.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
No, I mean, dogs are very therapeutic. There was a stretch. We had a yellow lab. Uh-huh. We named him Saban because
of
Nick Saban. Yeah. Of course. He's a winner. So we had a dog, and there would be stretches, you know, in 2010, 2011, before I really figured out how to bet college football, where I'd have losing weekends, and me and the dog would sit on the back porch, and he would just look at and he didn't care that I was 3-7 against the spread.
He didn't judge you.
He didn't care that I was stuck $280. He just, you know, he thought I was a great individual.
He didn't judge
and it was very therapeutic.
See, I agree. The instantaneous loyal love and support of a dog, as long as you're paying it back to that dog, right? Mm-hmm. Not abusing the privilege emotionally. And I'm not talking about physically. That's the problem with a cat. Is a cat doesn't provide any emotional support.
Doesn't do anything.
I don't believe it might kill some mice.
A cat is,
I guess,
about himself, but or herself.
But fellas, I mean, we're missing the whole point of the story, man.
One cat's fun. Two cats are twice as fun. So let's get 20 of them.
I mean, why not, man? You know, I don't know how you go from 1 to 20. Like, one cats are fun. Two cats are.
I think he knows that. You know, once you get the one cat and the second cat, you're on a slippery slope of cats. Like, you can slide down that cat slope and end up like the crazy cat lady pretty quickly.
I think we all have known that person, though. Like, I used to go to school with a kid who owned, like, he was known for having a ton of cats. That's, like, at least 20 cats in his house. I was probably in sixth grade, like fifth, sixth grade.
Isn't that the parents, though, not the kid?
Yeah, but people made fun of him, called him, you know, Mr. Catman.
Well, why gotta be some Debbie Downer?
Stupid things like
that. I'm sure that house smelled really good.
But I blame the parents on that one. I don't think it was his decision to go get 20 cats.
Well, yeah, it was. I didn't make fun of him. I kind of just, you know, stayed to myself. But
if you are a college kid, you're 21 years old, and you live on your own, and you have more than three cats, I'm concerned for your well-being.
Yes.
I just don't trust a guy with a cat. Just don't.
I don't have a problem with people.
I just don't trust the guy with
a
cat.
I don't trust the cat.
No, I don't trust a guy. Now, girl, yeah. I just don't trust the guy with
a cat. Do you trust a guy who doesn't drink coffee?
I think that's okay. Mm. I mean, I need coffee, but
it's hard for me to.
Because I've seen Hollywood at like 5:30 in the morning in here cracking open a can of Coke.
Yeah, I don't trust a guy to drink Coke at 5 o'clock in the morning. Hollywood, hey, you got to change it.
I mean, he's getting caffeinated any way he chooses.
Wait,
but
I do
still
drink coffee before I come here.
If we're going to go down this road, I've got way weirder things than not drinking coffee.
I also don't trust anybody that puts ketchup on a hot dog.
How about
I don't do that.
See, I don't trust that person.
You can't do that because then you're eliminating half the population of America.
Well, that's accurate.
You may be right. Here's the greater serial killer moves, though, and that is no syrup on your pancakes.
Oh, yeah.
Who does that?
I don't trust that person. Jason Fitz.
Oh, my goodness.
And you.
I go butter.
Every host I've worked with.
Just butter?
Sometimes just butter.
Every host I've worked with on this show, in this slot on this channel, I've had one that didn't put syrup on their pancakes, and it's a serial killer move. How about cheese pizza? Plain cheese pizza.
I'm totally good with just cheese.
Also serial killer move.
Really?
I think so.
So you always have a topping?
Why would you waste an opportunity?
So would you, if all that was offered to you was just plain cheese, would you decline?
No, I would eat the pizza. But
I mean, pizza's pizza.
But if you go to order a pizza and you choose a pizza and choose cheese over something else.
Nick, you can have that area by yourself now.
Derek, that's fine by me.
Derek has moved around the table and away from there, McHale. Because he's concerned about getting sliced and diced.
Stretch my legs out here.
You want me to give me my here? Give me my work bag.
There you go. You guys stay on the other side.
I don't want any part of my belongings in your lap over there. Give it back to me.
No,
I'm not anti syrup. I'll have syrup, but I would just prefer just butter.
I don't get like that seems like a dry pancake to me.
Nick. No, dry would be no butter. That's dry would be a dry rub.
How moist is this pancake?
Yeah.
That's a fair question, too.
Exactly.
That is a fair question.
Is
there blueberries in the pancake?
Is it a thin pancake or is it a thick pancake?
It's called a crepe. It's a very thin pancake.
Yeah.
Your flapjack.
Do you like your pancakes fluffy?
Do you like crepes? Have you had crepes?
You like a fluffy pancake?
Housekeeping, you like me to fluff your pillow? No, Tommy just needs sleepy.
I think we're doing Tommy Boy, Saturday Night Live, and Ricky Bobby all in the same segment.
It's good stuff. You're not getting that anywhere else in Nashville.
No, no.
I'll tell you that right now.
No, they're very thin pancakes. You like the crepes? Yes. Very thin pancakes.
Crepes.
I don't think he knows what a crepe is.
All right, we're done.
I don't trust cats.
Chris Mason, final hour of the show. Big Finish, final hour of the show. But we'll kick off the final hour, a little college football. It is a Tuesday, so it's time for Top 4 Tuesday in college football. Stay there. We're back after this.
Say I love Chris.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save